Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and hello to you, the listening audience. Here on the Blog Talk Radio Network, we are so excited. We can't deny it, and we are literally out of control, and we know that we like it. On this wonderful Tuesday, yes it is, February 20th, 2024, you've got Power Talk Live, and oh my goodness, what a time it's been, over a decade, that me and the remaining constituency of the Allied Big Three have once again reunited, and it feels so good. You've got your Motor City Maharani, yours truly. You've got your Michigan Maharaja, Dave Smith. And you've got your Prince Pierre, our Haitian correspondent, who's going to be giving some innovative entertainment information and some exciting news about here today, even reflect on yesterday, and we're going to project even on the future with a little side twist of humor. Would you guys like to say hello?
Hello, everyone.
Yay!
This is David, and I should connect with Pierre, make sure he's ready to talk, too.
Oh, yes, indeed. We know he's up and ready.
Yeah. So I will see if I can manage technology.
Oh, yes. And let me tell you something that's so innovative about technology. We were just talking about that, how we look at television back in the times prior to here and now. And many, many phases of this technology was up and moving in these various media productions. We talked about Star Trek and how FaceTime was used. And the Michigan Maharaja was just talking about Dick Tracy talking in his watch and how we have the Apple Watch as a way of communicating. And you know something? The more that we look and project things from the past, the more we see the impact right here and now in this intermediate time of the present. So it pays to really look at television. Television can have such a vast impact on the way that we see life here and now. I'm telling you, because how many of us would ever have thought of looking into a device and seeing the person that we're talking to in the way of FaceTime? Wow. What was your most interesting experience, Dave, when it came to utilizing FaceTime?
Wow, that's just an interesting question. And I'm connected.
Yes. He's connecting now. Another facet of today's most innovative level of communications, I'm telling you. But I'll tell you, as we're waiting on him to come back, my most interesting facet of utilizing FaceTime was to the fact that I really didn't know that my face would actually be showing. And it was the earlier times and the earlier period of the morning in which I was connecting with a friend that I hadn't seen in over 25 years. And it was so funny. She said to me, you know what? It looks pretty good to be this up this early in the morning. I said, really? She said, yes. She says, my, how your hair has grown. I'm thinking that she's just making a, you know, anatomical statement. That's just something relevant. You know, she's probably picturing in her mind the way I was years back. But lo and behold, she began to describe to me the colors that she saw in my room, the way that my hair was arranged. And I said, I got to call you back. Bye. And I literally disconnected the conversation. I did not know that my actual face was showing. That was an experience I'll never, ever forget. Never forget. Oh, my goodness. So it pays when you're using this modern phase of technology.
I'm waiting to hear back from Pierre.
Yes.
Can you hear me, Abby?
Yeah, I hear you wonderfully. Yes. It pays to be presentational. Don't ever get in front of your phone or your communications device without being presentational and noteworthy in a way of being decent. That would be a very embarrassing experience. Yes. What is your most interesting experience that you had with FaceTime, Dave?
Oh. Well, I like being able to communicate and see people all over the planet.
Yes.
And it's just incredible. Staying in touch, staying updated.
Yes.
You know, it's wonderful.
It's wonderful. It is. I was just sharing with the listening audience about my experience. I hadn't contacted my friend well over 20 years, literally 25 years. And I didn't really know that she could see my face, and it was early in the morning, and I wasn't very presentational. And I immediately, when she started describing the things in the room and my hair was not arranged, and I literally told her, I'll call you back, and I cut her off. I said, she's looking at me? Who else is looking at me? Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, the technology is great when it works. I just called Pierre, and it went to voicemail, his voicemail.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So I'm wondering, is he on a call? You know, he said he has some updated information. He may be on a call with what's going on in Haiti. He's been really diligent in doing that, so much has transpired.
That's good. I should probably try calling him back again and see.
Yes, let's try to plug him up back into the saddle.
Okay.
And, guys, this day has a very interesting impact on things that have happened in history. And just one important fact, I don't know whether or not you know this or you've heard about it and just didn't do any more exploratory research, but here it is. On this day, February the 20th, in the year of 1792, did you not know that President George Washington signed an act creating the United States Post Office Department? That's when the actual postal service was given the referendum to function as a separate entity. That's right, a business entity. That's right. He signed that act. So I'm reflecting back on perhaps that President's Day is the reason why they celebrated literally the day before the United States Postal Service was created. Isn't that interesting? Many of us thought that this was a recent creation, but all the way back in 1792. What an interesting innovation, wasn't it? And you think about how the Postal Service, rain, shine, snow, or sleet, when other establishments are closed down, they are diligent to make sure that you get your mail delivered to you in a safe and timely fashion. So hats off to the ladies and the men who make it happen for us every day. Have we ever taken the time to just say thank you for your due diligence and your service? Because when many of us are called off from work, you guys are up and making it happen for us, keeping us communicated and connected with family, friends, with businesses. You're making it happen for us. So when you get a chance, any opportunity that you get, tell your postal worker, the person that delivers your mail, thank you for your dedication and service. I don't think many of us even think about that, do we?
Not enough. That's one really good example, and there may be a few other examples of people that just work in the background.
Yes.
And we're not conscious of it, but we benefit from it.
Yes.
And I wish I had someone who could help me connect with Pierre.
Yes.
And back to you. I don't know, this technology. Yeah.
Oh, the wonders of technology. Wow. It has its challenges, I'm telling you. And once we overcome those challenges, things just connect so smoothly. Like, really, sometimes, David, the most simplistic thing that just occurs. And then when it's resolved, it's like, wait a minute, that was right in front of my face. I didn't see that.
Well, and for people who are teenagers, I mean, it's not technology.
No.
It's just my phone. What are you talking about, technology? You know? You think a refrigerator is technology?
Right.
No. It was.
That is so true. Oh, my goodness. That is so true. And isn't it strange, David, that you would mention that listening audience, that the youngest of the young can pick up a device and be able to navigate into games, various platforms. One lady even stated that her 5-year-old grandson actually went on Amazon and ordered 10 pairs of socks.
Oh, geez.
Right. I can't even effectively go to the Amazon platform without navigating through the main, the main intuitive to get into the house. And he did what she said. He knows how to go on Amazon. He knows how to go on the game site. And he's just five.
God, geez.
Wow.
Well, there's a two sides to this technology stuff, you know.
Yeah.
You got a phone in your hand, and you can connect with people all over the planet, literally.
Yes.
But we're not necessarily talking to the person sitting next to us. Wait a minute.
Right.
Oh, wait. Okay. You just, you know, playing on their phones, and you can see that.
Right.
Okay. How do we use these things properly? We have to educate ourselves.
Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And this looks like the children are more apt to be able to do that than us as adults.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm telling you, because there was a artificial intelligence called Siri. It was so funny. It was a couple of years ago. And I asked, I said, Siri, are you an actual human being? Or are you an alien intelligence? She said, I thought you said that. And you're a smart aleck, too.
And you got a sense of humor, Siri. That's good.
Right. That's right. She shut it down real quick.
Yeah.
And then I asked another question. I said, can you tell me? She said, I thought you said so. I was like, smart aleck, stage two. I said, just what are you? I'm one. I said, okay, three strikes, you're out. Disconnect. I felt like I was in an episode of The Twilight Zone. I said, I'm not going to do that again. But then I said, Siri has a sister called Alexa. So when Siri said, okay, I'm turning you on to deal with these difficult people, now here comes Alexa. Wow. Isn't that interesting? I can just wonder, and I don't wonder if you listening on this can wonder, what do these artificial intelligence, I won't call them spectacles, but creations look like? Have you ever assigned a face or any physical characteristics to what these artificial intelligences look like? Don't start thinking back into iRobot, because these were robotic devices, but artificial intelligences have been delegated to the possibility of looking like real human beings. So we may be looking and literally imagining seeing someone who looks acceptable to the way that we are. Who knows? Who really knows? And here's something else interesting that I want to share with you guys. In the year of 1862, on this very day, February the 20th, William Wallace Lincoln, the very son of Abraham Lincoln, succumbed to typhoid fever. Wow. Same date, just different year. And in that period of time, typhoid fever was considered one of the most virulent and the most catastrophic illnesses during that time, because people really didn't understand how it was spread, through the lack of, sufficient sanitation provisions, through the lack of cleansing of capacities and provisions. That disease was really, really rampant in the early phases and stages of our American civilization, and it swept through the country by storm. And this is how his son actually succumbed. That was a sad day. But here, we're going to pick up in 1962 on February the 20th. John Glenn. Who doesn't know John Glenn? Astronaut, NASA comes to mind just like that. Became the first American to orbit the Earth. He made three orbits. And guess how long it took him? How long do you think it took him? 4 hours and 55 minutes. 4 hours and 55 minutes. And he was able to accomplish what no other country, the Soviet Union, China, no Australia, Germany, England, was able to accomplish. How interesting indeed this was. Wow. You're talking about mankind making a progression to the future. How interesting. Did you hear that, Dave? On this very day in 1962, John Glenn made three orbits around the
Earth. Yes.
Isn't that something? In 4 hours and 55 minutes.
They could do all that, but I can't connect you and Pierre on the same.
Isn't
what
that
button am I supposed to? What button am I supposed to push here? I don't know.
Right. You add your call and then connect to me, just like that. The modern phase of technology, guys. We all experience it on different levels. I remember one experience I had. I actually had completed a report, a Title I report. You know how annually you have to do the annual Title I report, 103.382, back to public law. I completed the entire report. And guess what happened?
Delete?
Yes!
No.
I was in one microcosmic second.
Yeah.
And my entire report was deleted. I said, oh, my goodness, what did I do? Then I went through the lost files and thinking maybe it somehow mysteriously saved itself. Didn't happen.
No.
Nope. Had to go back into the system, redo everything.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. And I'm telling you, if I hadn't had those handwritten notes, I would have been lost in space.
Okay, Pierre's calling again. If I hold and accept?
Yes.
And?
Yes. You see, the magic of technology, we're all challenged. And I'm still challenged with it because oftentimes I will connect to a designated site and I will have the provisions where I can record information and to get it and document it and be able to condense it within a much-needed report. Then suddenly, blammo, it disappears like somebody waved a magic wand. Wow. So with all of the great accomplishments of technology, and that's what we're getting to, there are still challenges that we have to face. And you have to face them. And it takes patience. It takes diligence to be able to overcome the obstacles of technology. And all technology is not always computerized. It's not always dealing with the iPhone, the Android, and Samsung. Sometimes it's basic utilization of things we have within our grasp. That's right. It's there. You know, even with picking up the phone, sometimes you utilize technology to reflect and to captivate and to motivate. And somehow things just don't always turn out right. I'm even thinking about the manner in which the FaceTime, that's a phase of technology. You just have to know to be presentable. That's right. You have to know to be presentational. And I learned that through an embarrassment. Well, that's okay. Such is life. We have to laugh at certain things to get over the hump and to go to the next level. And when you lose your sense of humor, you don't have much else left. You don't have much else left. And oh, since we're on this date of February the 20th, if I could get you to do an imaginary drum roll, happy birthday. Happy birthday to those individuals who are born on this date. And one familiar person that most of us are associated with or have heard of is Robin Rihanna Fenty, known as the artist Rihanna. She is turning 35 on this day. Happy birthday, Rihanna. I remember back when I was 35. It wasn't that long ago. But we wish you the very best on your birthday. There's other celebrities who are celebrating their birthday today. Trevor Noah, the supermodel Cindy Crawford, Kurt Cobain. I know many of you remember him from the group Nirvana. yes, celebrating the birthday. Many people are still remembering him as a phenomenal presenter and performer. That's right, remembering him. Olivia Rodriguez, French Stewart, Jay Hernandez, Justin Verlander, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, and many, many more. Many more orbits around the sun. Indeed, indeed, indeed. Now, to my very close ally, a member of the Big Three, A. Smith. Okay, he's still having some technical difficulties. That's okay. We have learned how to navigate through various aspects and complications of connecting, because that's to be expected. And you always have a backup plan. You have plan A, you have plan B, and you always have plan C. Because when the other two fail, you can rely on the third one to be able to fulfill that particular level of obligation. I've had the very wonderful privilege of connecting to some very exciting and very interesting people on all levels and walks of life. And one of the areas that I really enjoy sharing information and getting information through and with our parents. Parents in this day and era. You know, you don't have to be young to be a parent. There are some parents who are middle-aged. There are some parents that are elderly. But guess what? When we have our children are ours for life. Despite how ascending in years they are, they're still our children. And it's a known fact. How many of you agree to disagree or agree to agree that your children sometimes become more infantile and more dependent upon you when they begin to mature in years, more so than they did when they were younger? That's right, because each level, each decade presents a different level of challenges. And as us being seasoned parents and grandparents, we have to be prepared to meet those challenges. And we have to be prepared to be able to stand up and to stand out in those areas, in those aspects. I want you to identify, while I'm going on the line, pause for station identification, think of the most innovative challenges that you had as a parent, and we'll come right back. Let me see if I can add him on. Okay. Yes. Are you still thinking? Are you really still thinking? I hope that you are, because you know what? Challenges are oftentimes hidden. Sometimes we want to act as though that those challenges don't exist. And as a result, we push them behind various aspects in our life. We hide them behind our work ethic. We hide them behind removing the camouflage. Yes. You often see the total picture. Isn't that right? Sometimes that picture is not always effervescent. Sometimes that picture is not always presentational, but you have to be willing to accept it. And one of the biggest challenges, I think, is in recognizing the difference in society. Society is not the way it was when we came along. You know, those of us who grew up in the 70s, our whole anomaly was different, right or wrong.
I agree.
Yes, wasn't it different? So the parenting, what do you think the biggest parenting challenges were when we were coming along? And I grew up in the 70s, and I know there was a whole lot going on. But, you know, the method of discipline with us as children was far different than it is today. So what do you see, David, as being the differentiation between this generation and the generation in the 70s and maybe even in the 60s? What do you see as the difference?
Whoa, that's a food for thought. Oh, my gosh. So many differences, you know, things that we just take for granted and assume.
Yes.
And I just have a sense of when I was growing up in the 50s and the 60s,
yes.
If you were, you know, driving down the street or walking down a sidewalk, somebody came past you, you
yes.
always said hi. You greeted them.
Right.
And that was one of my great experiences going to Haiti.
Yes.
Everybody looked you in the eye. Everybody smiled.
Wow.
Sac passé.
Oh, wow.
That's about the extent of my Haitian vocabulary, Creole vocabulary. And I would come home, and nobody looked you in the eye.
No.
And all the perceptions that people had about Haiti
yes.
were poverty, crime, you know, violence. Why would you even go there, David? It's dangerous.
Right, right.
Well, I found a wealth of community life in Haiti
wow.
that we don't seem to have here today quite the same.
Wow.
Oh, it's just a blessing.
Yes.
We had a flat tire driving back dirt roads to get to the village we were going to.
Yes.
And every vehicle that went by stopped to see, do you want us to take your tire down and get it fixed?
Right.
Yeah, everybody helped you. And we got another place, different time probably. We
right.
went through a little village, and there was a lot of water over the road when
yes.
we tried to drive through it.
Yes.
We got stuck.
Oh, no.
Mud. We couldn't back out. We couldn't drive forward.
Ooh.
And a dozen people came out of the village and pushed our vehicle out of the muddy water.
Wow. That's phenomenal.
It was just wonderful.
Wow.
And I remember Pierre and I would go, four or five different schools to do presentations.
Yes.
And show pictures. I take a lot of pictures, of course, and
yes.
Of Haiti and the people and the radiant faces and tell these stories just
yes.
to help you know, the students and the teachers
yes.
Just understand, it's a wonderful village. It just needs some advantages that we've sort of denied it.
Yes.
And it's not just about a charity thing.
No.
It's about helping people establish what we know about, the systems, mail delivery or, you know,
yes.
getting food delivered to grocery stores and,
yes.
you know, generating money and having banks and all the stuff that we don't even think about. Just do it.
No. You're right. You are right.
Wow.
Think about it. And you're
yeah.
so right. The biggest thing that a lot of older parents look at the younger parents and say is that the sense, as you state, the sense of communal belonging is different. That's another big challenge that our children that are brought up in this era don't know much about connecting with community. Like you were talking about the wonderful example in Haiti. They don't know much about it. They don't get that exposure. Everything is technology and given to them in their hand, and then they travel the world through the device instead of getting the socio-vital exposure to other cultures.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. Crazy.
It's a lot of learning.
Yes,
a lot
it
of
is.
Learning to get done.
A lot of learning. Yes, it is. Then the disciplinary factor. I can remember as being a child, and my mother would say, you choose one or the other, A, B, or C. You get to look at the strap, you look at the house shoe, or you want the switch. I don't want either one. You're going to pick one. Don't let me have to pick. We feared the switch. We feared the strap. We feared the shoe. And, oh, my gosh, we trembled the thought of the extension cord. We didn't want any of that.
Uh-huh.
Nowadays, you can't even discipline your children. The lack of disciplinary measure. You can't do it anymore. They can pick up the phone, 911. My mother's abusing me.
Mm-hmm.
We call that chastisement. I'm telling you, isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And look how we grew up respectable. We grew up decent. We never been incarcerated. We never utilized any unformidable substances. We never got into deviant behavior because we knew what we had to do and we didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
So that's lacking. And just, you know, and then like you said, the social exposure to other cultures and communicating with other people, that's so lacking. You sit up with a young person, and it's just, we went to the Jollibee restaurant. I finally got a chance to go there. And you should see that a young lady was sitting across. I knew it had to have been her mother or grandmother. Instead of her communicating verbally, Dave, and listening audience, she was on her phone texting or communicating with someone.
Oh, yes.
Isn't that something? Oh, my gosh. Wow. And if you were to ask her to communicate in a conversation, many of them, because they're depending on the technology, the text, many of them don't even know how to hold a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's sad. Oh, boy. So much for on the home for those are the challenges that parents face. But reaching out in the community, and as the Michigan Maharaja stated, having that cultural experience, that exposure, really meant a lot. And in a country like Haiti, that's so divided in so many ways, we have division here in America, but the people connect as a community. And I know you have some exciting information. We're going to have Pierre later on this week. We'll have him on Saturday. But I'm going to ask that they would reflect some of the things that are going on in Haiti and some of your experience that you had there. I always said I wanted to go to Haiti because Pearl Bailey made a song that was talking about Haiti. And that kind of stimulated my interest to say, you know, one day that's going to be one of my destinations that I want to visit.
Yeah.
Take the stage, Michigan Maharaja.
Well, and what the news covered so much about was just the negative side of things.
Yes.
There are negatives.
Yes.
But there are lots of positives.
Yes.
And that doesn't make the news.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
And we just, you know, we're at the stage of transition as a planet.
Yes.
We've got technology, like the phones we're talking on, to talk to anybody on the planet if we want to.
That's right.
And, you know, just do we recognize that we're one big family?
Absolutely. That's
more and more. Come on, the evidence is there.
It's there.
But don't just watch out for number one.
Right.
No.
We
got to help each other and, you know, learn. What do I need to learn about so I could do service to that community over there.
Yes.
I've been going for months, going to an indigenous cultural center here in the Lansing area.
Oh, really? Tell us about it.
Just making good friends and
wow.
Learning and, you know, just supporting them and taking photographs for their website and whatever they want to do. And
great.
Just, you know, there's a culture there that has a lot of wonderful qualities, like Haiti.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily hear about enough.
That's right.
And, you know, you just got to be engaged with people. Listen and learn.
Listen and learn. That's right.
That's right.
So when was your last visit to Haiti?
Oh, 2012 maybe.
Oh, wow. A
long time ago.
Really? That was like 2 years after that horrific earthquake that they suffered. What changes did you see in Haiti at that time?
Oh, gosh. Well, at my last visit, the changes I saw were a lot of progress in the educational system in this little village that we helped to support.
Really?
And we did that in consultation with the local villagers. We didn't just go in there with an idea, oh, you need a school, we're going to build. No. Would you like to do here in Bichon that we can help you with from Michigan?
Yes.
And they had a quick consensus about, we'd like a school for our kids.
Really?
Yeah. So for 12 years, we would do fundraising and support and assist them in, you know, developing things. We'd go down there every year or two and spend a couple of weeks and consult with the local villagers. What's working?
Okay.
What else can we do to help? You know, just live it and learn.
Right.
It was so, so inspiring. And I think a lot of those students that were elementary students and had the opportunity for an education then got opened a path for them to go on for higher education and go to college.
Excellent.
Yeah, I wish I had all the data about that. Stories, but, you know, just made a difference in some lives there.
That's wonderful. So wonderful.
Yeah.
How embracing and how friendly they were.
Yes. And it's the collaboration. Telling them what to do.
Yes.
But consulting about what's the problem that you see and what can we do to support your solutions. And
that's wonderful.
That's one of the skills that we need to develop more and more.
Yes.
Whether we're talking in the political arenas or, you know, community arenas or whatever, we all need to be talking and learning from each other.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
That is so very true. And like you said, the power of communication is where it all looks like it starts, doesn't it?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, wow. And, you know, David, when you were there, your last time being there, did you notice that the social structure within the communities were improving? There was a lot of revitalization and rebuilding?
Well, they had already had that kind of quality in the community.
Great.
It was just a great, great thing. And then, you know, the school got a little more complicated because some other nonprofits went down there and sort of gave instructions of what they should be doing and, you know, built some things for them. And it wasn't a consultative process. It was just, you know, that's development, you know, is a social process. It's not just a top-down process.
Yes. Wow. And that was an interesting project that you guys were working on with taking, I think, the utilization of corn and transferring it into actual fuel or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. One of the aspects of it. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Is that a work still in progress that's evolved?
I have no idea. I wish Pierre was with us and could get us an update on that.
I could get some insights on that, yeah. So on Saturday, we're going to get him connected in and so he can give us some insights about that. I thought that was just very exciting and what a good thing it would be for the environment, not only in Haiti, but around the country, even around the world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That would be excellent.
Yeah.
Very much excellent in everything.
Yeah.
As far as the political structure and everything, do you see or foresee during that period there was more stability or the people seem to be able to take governance more into their own hands? Or what did you foresee at that time?
Well, it just seems like people were collaborating nicely in the local community there. And That was very encouraging, and I think that was part of the strength of their community already.
Yes.
And then we brought some other resources to be able to combine with their resources.
Great.
Ours maybe some more material, and there's social resources.
Yes.
And you put them together, and some very good things happen.
Yes, indeed. That's right. The power of unity. You were talking about that in the way of how people are so connected together, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Wonderful. Now I'm getting to my favorite subject, the food in Haiti. What was your favorite dish that you can reflect back on when you were in Haiti?
Oh, gosh. Abby, I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
do you think? Roberta, hot, high order thinking skills.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I just remember, we had fish,
mm-hmm.
several meals, and I would just be guessing. I can't tell the food, actually. Pierre could tell me and remind me.
Yes.
Yeah. He's younger than I am, too. That helps.
He's like giving a home court advantage, huh?
Yeah, right. Oh, gosh.
Oh, but I heard the cuisine is awesome.
Yeah.
Yes. A lot of the food in Jamaica are reflective of the very, dishes that are from Haiti.
Uh-huh.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I said, oh, okay, that's my second favorite subject, food.
Oh, gosh.
I'm telling you, and just reflecting back, because you're celebrating Black History Month, I'm thinking about Toussaint Louverture. Wow. What a powerful name. Yes. Ah. Yes. Now, here is a very dignified leader and literal, some many would say, role model. You very seldom even hear anything about Toussaint Louverture.
True.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And he lived to be 59 years of age. He really succumbed at a young age, but the impression that he made about liberation, about taking that stand, and being
and his
leadership really impacted Haiti as a country.
Indeed.
Yes, indeed. Some even referred to him as the Haitian Napoleon Bonaparte.
Yeah.
I said, oh, please, not Napoleon. I tell you, and it's really interesting that, you know, his impact has been just in the later years really, really regarded and as him being a hero.
Yes.
That's just interesting.
It is. Probably hard when he was actually doing all that stuff and,
the
challenges, but he persisted and accomplished a lot.
Yes, he did. And he was regarded as one of the most prominent leaders in Haiti.
Yeah.
See that? And I would just hope and ascribe to the fact that whoever is the leader in Haiti now would definitely inherit some of his attributes.
Well, and didn't the last leader in Haiti just get killed?
Really?
That's what I remember seeing in the news.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that something? And here, when that happens, it literally leaves the people, the citizens, just battered and scattered, you know?
Yeah.
It really does, and that's the sad part.
And all the news about Haiti now is about the gang wars.
And really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I think there may be more news about Haiti. Good news as well about things that people do well together.
Okay.
But, there is crime that way. That's true.
Yes.
And conflict and killings and just sad.
Right. It really is. It is. And I'm looking now. They're talking about the gang violence that has elevated and escalated since 2020. Seeing two major gang movements. Revolutionary Forces, the G9, Family and Allies, and the GPEP. Wow, isn't that something?
Yeah.
But what is the law enforcement like over in Haiti? I know Pierre would give us more insight, but I know you have a lot of familiarity in studying culture. You got a lot of anthropological roots into various cultures. I know you do. And what is the law enforcement like there?
That I just don't have any experience about. I don't really know. And I, it's probably a concern that they can't coordinate people and stop the gang violence and stuff, but I'm eager to talk to Pierre. We haven't had many conversations lately because he moved out of Michigan for a while, and now he's back.
Right.
And so I want to catch up more and, you know, just learn what's going on.
Yes, indeed. And see, I think a lot of this civil unrest, just as in any civil unrest type of situation, opposing forces, you know, are generated because people share different opinions. One group may say, let's do a peaceful protest and start writing letters to the legislature and to, you know, the powers that be. Then the other group says, we wrote letters. We've tried to be peaceful. We've tried to open up the doors of discussion, but it's just not working. We need to become more aggressive. And when those two opinionated sides come together, then here comes the chaos.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I just often will use this metaphor when, you know, it's like you'll watch the news or whatever. If, you know, this argument about, if you don't see the world the way I do, you're wrong because I know I'm right.
Right.
Okay. Think about this. Your left eye and your right eye have different views of the world too, don't they?
Yes, yes they do.
And when the brain integrates those two views,
yes,
you get something neither eye has by itself.
That's
depth
right.
Perception.
Yes.
Depth perception. We could use that in our societies everywhere.
Yes.
Ah, come on, listen, learn. Stop stumbling over furniture.
Right. That's right. A simple formula can resolve a complex issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And here comes another one. Since you said that, we're going to get off the topic back into America about Donald Trump being able to be considered as a notable candidate for a presidency. We have some that are saying this man is a criminal. He incited, you know, the insurrection of the government back on January the 6th. And you have another group saying, oh, they blame that on him. This man acted independently upon themselves. Then you have a mid group saying, but he still incited it. What is your take on that?
Well, I avoid political arguments altogether.
Yes.
I observe from a distance,
yes,
but I don't think the solutions are coming from those political competitions.
No.
It's going to come from the consultative process.
Yes.
Talk to each other, learn from each other.
Yes.
You know, I can give you my opinion, and then I'm going to let go of it so you can say yours, and another friend can say his, and another can say hers, and okay. Multiple perspectives, then okay. So what do we need to do?
Right. See that? And again, like you said, the simple measure to resolve a complex issue. And I feel the way that you feel. And I've learned to be more conservative in thinking. I said that at the end of the day, the Democrats and the Republicans are sitting down, having dinner, enjoying festivities and conversing with each other. And then you have the citizens that are divided and want to conquer each other.
Yes, yes.
Right. But those people are friends beyond what the media projects.
Yeah. And how much gun violence is there in this country?
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. And did you hear the latest about a young man who was angry because his mother wouldn't give him this artificial intelligence device that he could interact with his video game? He actually shot his mother and killed her.
Oh, my gosh.
Over a device. 10 years old. How does a 10-year-old know how to pick up a firearm?
Gosh.
And have such a dark consciousness to do that to his own mother. And that's here in the United States.
Gosh.
Yes. Yes. A very well, adjusted middle-class family.
Mm-hmm.
A working mother, son, and this is what it resorts to. Right here in America, listening audience, not in Europe, not in Asia, Australia, Antarctica, Africa, South America, Canada, right here in the U.S. of A.
Yep.
Yes.
And we need to be the role models.
Yes.
Of collaboration.
Yes.
Consultation. Cooperation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, I'm a long-term optimist. We're going to learn our lessons.
Yes.
And put these things into practice.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
That's right. You're absolutely right. I said you're going to keep on taking this test until you make the passing grade.
Yay, yes.
That's
and I have such great memories of my visits down there to your school, Carson's Elementary.
Yes.
And just the wonderful people that I met there and
their
positive spirits and collaboration.
Yes.
Oh, man, making a difference.
Making a difference, that's right. And even though the area, someone said, because, you know, it's so funny that Clint Eastwood, when he filmed Gran Torino down there, he said, this is the perfect area because it looks, you know, economically compromised. I had to laugh at that. Yeah, he said that, but he filmed his movie down there. But at the same time, even though there were challenges economically with the face of the neighborhood, everyone stuck together. We had no incidents of violence. We had nobody break into the school when we were located there. We had none of our staff members that were physically confronted or attacked.
Yep.
People cared.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jeez, that's great.
Yes, that's something. They cared about us because they know we cared about them, and their babies were first priority to us.
Yes.
Yes. It makes a lot of sense and a lot of difference. And sometimes when I go past that school and I look at it, I just reflect back on all those memories. I get teary-eyed.
Yes.
I'm telling you, it has been different. And even though we relocated, there's still, you know, various challenges there within the neighborhood. You know, severities happen. But for the most part, like you said, despite what's going on around them, people still find a way to come together, the unity.
Yes.
And that makes it wonderful.
That's the calling. That's the calling. We've got to respond.
Yes, have to respond. Yes. And, you know, Detroit Public Schools Community District is on the uptick. They're on the upswing. Children are improving in their academic achievements. Dropout rate. The level of literacy and competency in literacy and ELA has really increased. We've got literally 4,000 plus more students back into the district than we had previously, reflective of the pandemic.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It is. Like you said, a painful progression, but we got through it, and like you say, it's still evolving, you know?
Yep.
Still evolving, yes, indeed. And just thankful to the community that pulled together and the partnerships. And even the parents, we have a lot of parents that maybe have some severities, but they will go beyond and they do what they need to do by getting their children to school. That's the first step.
Yes, that's great.
That's great, yes, it is. And it's not like the way it was when my daughter was a child. You know, she knew she had to go to school, and she would literally want me to allow her to sit there while I dressed her, combed her hair, and prepared her for school. I said, what is this? This is double duty. What about me? I need to comb my hair.
Well, and this is part of your education. How do you comb your hair?
That's right.
Yeah.
101. I'm telling you, yes. And look, they have so many provisions now that they didn't even have back in the 90s when many of our kids were coming through. They got before school, after school, a 21st century. They have so many things.
Yeah.
Mentorship, SOAR reading program. Oh, just a lot of things.
Great.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I'm rooting for all of them. Rooting for them.
Yes, indeed. And it's just wonderful. You know, all of these things that are there right in literal panoramic view.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It's really, really beautiful. Now, I want to ask your opinion on something.
Uh-oh.
And please feel free to engage. What do you feel concerning the level of the U.S.'s support in the Ukraine-Russian war? What do you feel about that? because I've talked to a couple of people and some of them were very angry, saying the United States is being blatant and lackadaisical and they're not doing anything. And I've heard some people say this is not the affair of the United States, that they need to allow the, you know, the two powers to be to pan out their differences. What do you feel about that?
Well, if there's an opportunity to help bring peace, move peace forward, I think that's a priority for all of us.
Yes, it is.
And just whatever we can do, you know, this is a very wealthy country for many people.
Yes.
Not everybody.
Right.
But to be able to use that wealth to bring people together.
Yes.
And get that consultative process going.
Yes.
I've been to Ukraine.
Have you?
Yep. My wife, all of her grandparents came from Ukraine. So
really?
Yep. And she's been there four or five times, and I went with her once, and we made some good friends there too. That we're still in touch with some of them. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a small world if you look with the right eye, you know?
That is so true. That's right. And you really embrace the reality that all the continents were joined together at one time. That's true. And I feel the way you feel. And listen, we hope that you share the same insight. I feel that there needs to be a mediation committee that needs to come together as a unit of one to hear both sides, because there's more than one side to an issue.
Yeah, that'd be a good approach, yeah.
Yes, it would. But when people pick up weapons instead of having conversations,
you
see the casualties and the impact. People that don't even have direct initiation to this are being hurt by it.
Yeah.
Right. But you know Russia is being hurt by the lack of, you know, by having sanctions placed upon them. And there's so many people in the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
You know they're being hurt by it.
Yeah.
Yes. And then, citizens of Ukraine, especially the elderly, are being impacted. Many of them can't get their rifle medications that they need. And it's impacting their way of life, too. Everybody's being
impacted. It is. Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed. Even to the, you know, Hamas and Israel, you know?
Yes.
They're being impacted by it. And that's going to be on our next show. We're going to definitely touch in that area because there needs to be some type of peaceable resolve.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
Well, it sounds like we're almost winding up here.
Yes, we are. And what a wonderful show and wonderful presentation, Michigan Maharaja Dave Smith, that we've had, and your Motor City Maharani here. And we're going to have Prince Pierre on. We're going to come back Saturday at 5:30.
All right. Look forward to it.
Definitely.
Thank you so much. It's great to be back in touch with you, Abby.
Oh, thank you so much, Dave. And thank you for being here. Much love to you. And much love to you, audience. Whatever you do in your life, let it be a testimony and a testament to others. By showing love and kindness, you can change not only a person's attitude, you can help to adjust their latitude.
Yes, good.
Beautiful.
All right.
We'll pick you back up again on Power Talk Live here on the broadcast. We love you and have a wonderful evening. Would you like to make closing remarks?
Love you too, Abby. Bye-bye.
Love you too. Bye-bye.